Good day, and welcome to the Norsk Hydro third quarter presentation. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Stian Hasle. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and welcome to the update on Norsk Hydro's third quarter results. We will start with a short introduction by President and CEO Svein Richard Brandtzæg, followed by a Q&A session. And with that, I'll leave the word to you, Svein Richard.
Thank you very much. Let me say a few words on the key developments in the third quarter of this year. The underlying EBIT for the third quarter was 2.7 billion from 2.4 billion in the third quarter last year, and stable versus second quarter 2018. This quarter continued to be negatively affected by Alunorte, Paragominas and Albras producing at 50%, resulting in reduced volumes as well as cost inefficiencies. The main factors lifting the results in Q3 versus last year were higher realized all-in aluminium and alumina prices, up respectively 17% and more than 50%. This was more than offset by significantly increased raw material costs, largest one being alumina, as well as somewhat increased fixed cost. Energy delivered a record result, mainly due to significantly higher prices, and the results from our downstream divisions were fairly flat compared to the same quarter last year. We are maintaining a strong focus on the better improvements across the business areas, but we see now that due to the situation in Brazil, we will not be able to deliver on the 500 million Norwegian target for 2018. And finally, when it comes to the market side, we see the global aluminium market in a deficit in 2018, but with the continuing uncertainty on U.S. trade tariffs and result sanctions together with the situation in Brazil. We reduced the expectations for global primary demand from 4-5% to 3-4%, but have at the same time reduced the expectation for global primary production from 2-3% to around 1%. Resolving the Alunorte situation remains our key priority, and on the positive side, we signed two important agreements with the Brazilian authorities in September, which we believe is a step in the right direction, although they do not provide any indication as to when the embargoes will be lifted. It is important for us now to make sure that we are in alignment with all the stakeholders to increase the likelihood of a positive outcome when we take this case to the judge. At this time, I'm still not able to give you a clear timing on when we will test our documentation and agreements towards the court system, but we continue the dialogue with the government of Pará, including State Environmental Agency SEMAS and Ministerio Público, in order to establish a common platform to resume production.
Operator, we're now ready for questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that your mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. A voice prompt on your phone will indicate when your line is open to ask a question. Please state your name before posing your question. As a reminder, please press star one on your telephone to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal for a question. We'll now take our first question. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Afternoon. It's Liam Fitzpatrick from Deutsche Bank. Two questions. Firstly, just on primary metal or primary aluminium, we're beginning to see production cuts in Europe from some of your peers. Are there parts of your portfolio where you would consider reducing production if the global primary margin outlook doesn't improve in the coming months? And then secondly, on Alunorte, you know, I understand you're not going to make any firm comments around timing, but since the announcement we saw from you a few weeks ago to shut down production, have you seen an improvement in the negotiations and greater urgency from the various parties to reach a resolution? Thank you.
Thank you very much for the questions. With regard to production cuts in Europe, we don't have any plans to cut down production. According to CRU, we were well placed on the global cost curve in the second quarter. We haven't seen the updated figures, but we were placed on the 26th percentile on the global cost curve. We know that there has been some shutdowns planned for shutdowns in Spain, but these are probably very high-cost smelters. With regard to the Alunorte and the situation, of course, it was a big surprise that the Alunorte management decided to close down the production after the report came from the agency that is experts on geomechanical on the geomechanical area, and we got the clear advice from them, and the conclusion was taken. After that, we saw that the activity level increased, and we were able to lift, or at least we got approval from IBAMA first, and then SEMAS to lift the that lifted the embargo on the press filter, which was an extraordinary situation, and which resulted in a continuation of the operation, that we could bring back the production to 50% very quickly. So that was done very fast. After that, we have, of course, continued the discussions with the authorities. We have a constructive dialogue, both with Goro Metapara, with the IBAMA, with SEMAS, and the Ministry of Publico. First, it is important for us to say that we have the sustainable combination of a press filter and the new bauxite residue area, DRS2, that we have talked a lot about. This is ready to be used, but temporarily we are now using the press filter towards the old deposit area, DRS1, which we can continue to use for another 12 to 18 months. But, of course, the dialogue now is about opening the opportunity to utilize the new bauxite residue area, DRS2. And, of course, also the discussions is about how we can lift, finally, the embargo on the 50%.
Would you be disappointed if we're still having the same conversation in 3 months?
Absolutely. So we are eager and very, I would say, we are ready to start using the DRS2, and also, of course, ready to continue full production in Alunorte any day. So we are impatient for bringing back production to full speed.
Okay. Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to queue for a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll now take our next question. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, good afternoon, team. Sir, I've got a couple this time, so bear with me. Let's take them one by one. First, Samrika, the aluminium price obviously dropped further since we last spoke at the second quarter. And Norsk Hydro keeps talking about very good supply-demand and things being quite constructive in the market. But there must be something there that is not going as planned. Clearly, destocking may be a driver. But how long do you think this factor of destocking will still drive the commodity price?
Okay, we can take one question after the other, and I can answer accordingly. With regard to the drop in aluminium price, of course, when we look at the supply-demand balance and also the cost of production, and then looking at the fact that we are talking about aluminium, the PAX levels that are very high, and just in percentage of LME, we are about 20%. This should of course, the cost level here should indicate that there are several smelters now around the world that are below water. We had a look at that just a few weeks ago, and we saw that about 40% of the smelters in the world are below water, and the situation haven't improved very much since then. So, of course, we see that China has, I would say, more balanced situation with regard to supply and demand, while there is a substantial deficit outside China. We see China is exporting aluminium to the local countries in Asia, but also especially to Eurozone. We see that China is exporting. So this is having an influence, but in parallel, we see that the global inventories are gradually going down. So how long this can continue is, of course, difficult to say, but there will be a tighter market as we see it now if the demand continues as it is now, and also the fact that there is a very low appetite for increasing production. In China, we have taken down the expectation from 2 to 3% growth in supply to 0 to 1%. This can be ascribed to, of course, the cost situation, the profitability situation of Chinese smelters or Chinese aluminium companies, but also there are some capacity quota constraints in China. And outside China, there's been some disruptions. Albras is one of them. But in total, we expect only 1 to 2% increased supply outside China. So, as we see it now, the situation will become even tighter as we move forward.
And in your historic experience, what level of inventory, both visible and invisible, do you need before the market really tightens?
I think we are already...
How many weeks?
We are now approaching inventory days level, which was similar to the situation before the financial crisis. So that also tells us that the market is becoming quite tight. So it's clear that inventory is coming down and the market tightness is moving forward.
Okay. Okay. Second one, on restart, or potential restart, let's call it like that, what is Norsk Hydro's view and what do you think the government's view is with respect to the rainy season? Obviously, it's a bit of an unnerving period after what happened last year. So is it of particular significance? You wait for that, you don't wait for that? What's your view on it?
We are ready to start, and we have already made Alunorte even more robust since the previous rain season. And on top of that, we are building a reservoir system that will increase the water reservoir with 350%. That will be ready now in the end of the year. That will give us quite a substantial buffer to handle heavy rain. But on top of that, we're also investing in a water cleaning system that will be added. That will increase the water cleaning system with 50% extra capacity, and that will be ready in the second, third quarter next year. So what we have done already, what is already happening now, will make Alunorte much more robust going forward. It has already been concluded by the authorities that we have said also before that there has been no pollution, even after the extreme rainfall we had in Alunorte in February. But we don't gamble on this, and with the climate changes, we expect that the rainfall could become even worse going forward, so we are preparing for that. So Alunorte is definitely much more robust today than it has ever been, and we will make it even more in the future. So I think we will say that we are ready to start now, and that is also what we are discussing now with the authorities.
Okay. And then one more long-term and then one short-term. So on rolling, it's been a never-ending disappointment in the last, let's say, 7-8 quarters, at least I think for the sell side and for investors. How do you look at this? I mean, this seems to be not getting any better, and it's better for 1 or 2 quarters and there's something else going on. Does this need more structural addressing? Do you need to change something? Do you need to sell it? Do you need to shut things down? What can you do to make this the business that it looks like it was 2 years ago?
I am also very disappointed about the development in rolled products. We see that there is a need for restructuring, and some of that we can now already do ourselves, and we have started with, especially within in the foil area, with the converted foil area. The fact that Alunorte is also now having production issues is affecting the whole Grevenbroich system. And that is something also we need to strengthen. The used beverage can recycling line, we have talked about a lot, and we still have issues there. With regard to the automotive line 3, however, that is now moving in the right direction. I think one of the key learning points here is that Roll Products has been very busy the last years with several projects at the same time, and that is not something we will repeat in the future. So that is one thing here. But with regard to structure, that is something we will come back to later.
Okay. Hey, sorry, two very small ones, a bit boring, but on the working cap, understandable you build up quite a bit of working capital in the quarter. Normally you release some of it in the fourth. This time around, can we expect that some of that build-up will stay into next year because it is alumina and some extra metal that you're sitting on?
Hi, Manu, it's Ivan.
Hi.
I think when you look into Q4, we do expect a release of working capital as we normally see in the fourth quarter. But it's still, let's say, from an overall level, it's probably going to stay somewhat higher compared to what you normally would see. So yes, it will be released, but the overall, you know, the absolute level is somewhat higher than what we normally would have in the Q4.
Great. And then on Albras, last one, I promise. Albras, you sold the energy, $400 million benefit year-on-year to the EBIT. You will still sell some energy, I presume, in the fourth quarter, although at much lower prices. So is there still going to be some benefit year-on-year from selling electricity, or will it be zero?
Well, let's have a look at how the market prices develop. As you know, the Brazilian power market is basically, or the hydropower there is basically run off the river for the most part, so there's little dam capacity. So in the rainy season, they almost produce as the water comes down, right? So that typically means that that prices go to the floor. So there will be significantly less contribution in Q4. I think that's the way.
Okay. Understood. Thank you.
We'll now take our next question. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. Jatinder Goel from Exane BNP Paribas. Two questions. Firstly, on your 2019 alumina sourcing, what are you currently planning above your usual 2.5 million ton procurement to cover the contingency of any delay in Alunorte restart or lifting of 50% embargo? And second one, how long do you need for the press filters to be fully ramped up? Because your comment says the full ramp-up will determine how long you can take to fully ramp Alunorte back to 100% capacity. So just trying to understand how long will it take for the press filters to be fully up and running to your comfort level where you can press the button to 100% capacity of Alunorte if embargo is lifted. Thank you.
Thank you, Jatinder. I can take the first, the last question first, and then Eivind can answer on the alumina sourcing side. With regard to the press filter situation, as I said also in the presentation earlier today, we have lost about eight months of commissioning time, where this press filter should be optimized and fine-tuned to the full to cover the full production. This time has been lost because of the embargo. Now we are back in business with the press filter, and of course, as I also said earlier today, we have eight press filters today. But when we started last year, the press filter system, we saw that there were at least indications that the capacity may not be covering the full production. And that's why we will have installed another press filter, the ninth filter. That will be in operation in the second, third quarter 2019. In the meantime, of course, we are ramping up and speeding up what we already have, the eight filters. And, of course, it remains to be seen what will be the bottlenecks here. But normally when we get such big units in place, big equipment, it will take some time before it is up to full speed. The original plan was, of course, that we should gradually ramp down the drum filter and DRS1 together with ramping up gradually the press filter and DRS2. Now we have only the press filter, so that is the reason why we have indicated that if the embargo was lifted tomorrow, we will probably not have full capacity. Of course, we will rather lift the embargo and have a bottleneck and a press filter anyway, but this is just to say that it may take some time before we are in full production with the, as we can only now use the press filter technology.
Sure. Just to push a little bit more, you've lost 8 months from this ramp-up period. Can you now do it in 4 months, or is it still going to take 8 months from the exception approval you have received to go to full capacity of eight press filters, ignoring the ninth new one?
We are putting all resources in place now to make sure that we can ramp up the press filter as soon as possible. So, but I just, this is too early to conclude on, but I can say the press filters are working, but we need to fine-tune and optimize, and we have put our best resources in place to do that.
When it comes to the alumina sourcing, Jatinder, we are, as we've said, we are covered for fourth quarter, and then we're also working to source alumina for the first quarter. And we're doing that in a way also to make sure that even if Alunorte stays up, I would rather have one cargo too much than one too little. So we will play this on the cautious side.
It will be rolling 5 months planning ahead in time, typically starting from today, if you say first quarter covering.
But we are sourcing for the first quarter to cover any potential shortfall that we would have. As we said before, for this year we are sourcing roughly 1 to 1.5 million tons over and above the 2 to 2.5 we normally source. That's in a way this expects to continue on.
Sure. Thank you.
We'll now take our next question. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, it's Dan from UBS. Apologies if there's any repeat questions. I'm joining the call slightly late. But the first one, just to be clear on the negotiation process, am I correct that the best way forward here for you on is to come to an agreement with the government of Para and Ministerio Publico before you present the details of the framework agreement to the court to get the embargo lifted? And if that is the case, I mean, I don't really understand how you were particularly further in the process, because I thought that was what you were doing to get the framework agreement signed to start with, was agreeing with those parties. So can you just explain a little bit more about sort of how this process goes forward in terms of negotiation?
Thank you, Dan. With regard to the negotiations that we have had for quite some time now, first of all, we have established the platform, which was the technical agreement and the social agreement, the TC agreement, that was signed in September. And the discussions and the negotiations we have had further now is about lifting the embargo. And first of all, as I said, for us, it's now important to lift the embargo on DRS2 first, and then lift the embargo for getting back to full production. It is right that we would like to have agreement, our common platform with government of Para, SEMAS, and Ministerio Publico before we go to the court. I think that will make the court decision safer, to say it that way. So we can have the embargo lifted in an efficient way. We know that Ministerio Publico have a big impact on the decisions. They are highly regarded in Brazil, and I think it's important that we also have agreement with Ministerio Publico, as we also did with the TAC and the TC agreement. So this is the process going forward. We have a good dialogue with authorities, that is clear, and still it is impossible to say how long time it will take.
Sorry, just to follow up on that, I don't quite understand what you haven't agreed on. I mean, I thought the agreement, the TAC and the TC, you know, that was the agreement you need to reach. What is outstanding? I mean, obviously, I know you're agreeing on lifting the embargo, but I don't quite understand what wasn't covered in the original agreement.
I think the TAC and TC was the fundament for bringing Alunorte back to full speed and lift the embargoes that we have been exposed to. And the discussions now is, of course, to go through all the details on the operations of Alunorte to make sure that we can operate Alunorte safely also into the next rain season. And the fact that we have already done quite a lot, we have strengthened the pump system, the pipe system. We have now done the excavations. We are going to finalize the water reservoir project before New Year, and very early meaning very early in the next rain season that starts in December. So I think we are on the right approach now. But again, we have no timing for this, but there are close contact between the parties here.
Okay, thanks. Just two more slightly smaller ones. Just to clarify the cost bridge for the primary aluminium business. If we assume that the 400 million NOK for energy resale doesn't happen this quarter, then you've got 200 million NOK of higher alumina costs. Am I right in saying that those, from a cost perspective, the two main moving parts we should be thinking about on the cost line in the fourth quarter versus the third quarter? Is that the right way we should be thinking about it?
That is the right way to think about it, Dan.
Okay, great. And just last one very quickly. You obviously reiterated the CapEx guidance, which assumes a very big step up in spend in the fourth quarter. I know you've obviously got the additional projects in Brazil. You have fallen short of spending your CapEx guidance in the past. What degree of confidence have you got around that? Is the risk to the downside that you fall short of the guidance again this year?
I think normally when you look back in this in history, we spent around 40% of the CapEx in the first three quarters of what we spent. This year we spent slightly north of 4 of the total budget, or indication of 8. So I think we're pretty much on track. And that, as you will appreciate, as the year end closes, you know, there's always something that is pushed in or comes forward, so there may be smaller variations to that number. But as we see it today, we stick by the guidance of just north of 8 billion for the year.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, just as a reminder, if you wish to queue for a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions over the telephone at this time. I'd like to turn the call back over to our host for any additional remarks.
Thank you, and thank you for joining us today. And if you have any follow-up questions, please don't hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and have a nice evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.